appeals by Edelstein et al. And I said a procedural question about that. I'll swing back around to. This is on remand from a superior court somewhere, and the result of that is that this has been deemed time to filed timely, and we'll pick up where we left off from last hearing. Joining us now is Mr. Loring on behalf of Appellant Edelstein. That being said, I
Okay.
kind of want to go back to when this was originally filed. It was originally filed from two different appeals, an appeal of Edelstein and an appeal of Sanford, Koopmans, and Widendorf. Oh, and I do see Widendorf. Is that Mr. Widendorf?
Widendorf, thanks.
Great. And we have I see a Jake, and I from my recollection, I think maybe Jake Koopmans.
Yes, this is Jake. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Okay,
Okay.
great. And I see Sir Metzler. I assume that's Tim Sir Metzler.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Hearing Examiner. Sorry, I for some reason did not have the link this morning. So thank you, Jason, for sending that my way.
Great. I need to catch you up to speed a little bit. So you're all gonna help me. I think Mr. Smutzer is joining Mr. Kamek for the applicants. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, but we have Mr. Loring for Appellant Edelstein. This case was originally started from two different appeal filings. I think there were two different appeal filings with two different appeal filing fees. Is that right, Mr. Diavion? Do you know?
I believe that is correct.
Okay. Now, I don't, were these all appealed to the Superior Court, or I don't recall what happened there. I wasn't part of that process. This is my notification.
As I understand the LUPA appeal process, even though I think the other appellants other than Ms. Edelstein did not file the LUPA petition, I'd have to double check that. But in any case, they are
That's
made other parties to that matter. And so they are a
fantastic.
party to that case.
Fantastic. And if anyone's opinion changes on that, please raise it to my attention in the next 2 weeks, as opposed to 2 or 3 months from now, or consider your argument waived about that. Good. So we'll restart where we left off. We've had several pre-hearing conferences. Parties came to a number of agreements. We have an exhibit list that's mostly coherent. I reviewed all of your briefs. The county renewed its objection or gave notice of its continued renewed objections to some of the evidence that's in the record. Otherwise, the applicant and the county seem to be in the same position before. Mr. Loring, I read your brief. And there are two things that were raised in that. You said there's some maybe some missing exhibits or exhibits that haven't been added yet that you anticipate adding. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Wonderful. Do you know when we could get those?
I was wondering what the schedule would be going forward at this point in terms of disclosure of exhibits and witnesses. And I can provide exhibits, we can set a date and I can make sure that we circulate those.
Sure. What I'd love to do today, these are my goals today. I
Okay.
want to talk about any final hearing from which resultantly I'll put together a briefing schedule for a final hearing. I want to make sure the three of you have an understanding of where you're all at. Not a lot has changed. I have another thing I want to talk about. Mr. Loring has proposed. The parties had come to an agreement about what the things of appeal were. Mr. Loring's brief has some deviation from that, and I'd love to talk about that probably last in that order. So, but those exhibits that you identified, Mr. Loring, do you have those already in your custody, as it were, or your client does?
I don't, but I don't believe that it would be. I think my client does, and I don't think it would be challenging to put those together and circulate those in short order.
Wonderful. So I'm just gonna. I don't think
And
anyone, and I don't think anyone else noticed any missing, obviously missing discovery. Is that correct?
I think one thing just to point out, and I think this overlaps with Mr. Loring's list, is I
I
think
agree.
some of that was identified on the county's initial pre-hearing
That's
memo,
right.
but the case was dismissed before that was distributed. So I think
Oh.
it's important to know I will. There are like four documents on that list, MDSs and approvals, at least somewhat overlaps with Mr. Loring's, and I will provide those by Monday or whatever
Okay.
other date the hearing
Thank you.
examiner
You know what I'm going to
provides.
write? I'm going to write something more nebulous and exciting like this. I'm going to say department and appellant Edelstein will collaborate to submit supplemental documents. And I don't want to rush you guys. I want to give you guys time to get on the same page and get the documents in. Let's say July 31st. That's plenty of time, right?
This for
That's
me. Yes.
well more than enough time.
Yep.
Perfect.
And thank you, Mr. Diavion. Yes, I agree that the first two items that we had identified overlap with items that the county had noted prior to the hearing last time that should be added to the record.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Now, as you know, this is an open public record hearing, but my goal in these pre-hearing conferences is to get to the parties to a point of factually figure out what their factual contentions are, or what their legal contentions are, so we can have the most efficient hearing possible. So next, let's talk about when we would like to have a final hearing. It sounds like we got a lot of evidence in place. When do we want to have a final hearing? Or when are we available to have a final hearing? I think August is pretty booked up. I know Mr. Loring has an absence in August. And I know we have four sets of attorneys here. And just to be clear, Mr. Wittendorf and Mr. Koopmans, our rules call for when there are multiple parties filing one appeal or one application. We usually have one speaking agent. That's something you don't have to sort out right now at the hearing for the parties. But your speaking agent's calendar is also very important here as you're representing yourselves pro se. So, what were the parties thinking? Are the parties chatted about this at all? How are you like, I'm just going to throw a date out and see how the parties react to the date. How does September the 25th sound to the parties?
Examiner, I do have one question toward that
Sure.
end, and I realized last time in the previous iteration, this matter had some time for motion practice for summary
You
judgment
can do that.
motions, and so I wanted to put that out there and see what the other parties thought. I don't know that this would be resolved completely on at summary judgment. I think there's some questions probably related to the pollutant loading, essentially. I think that's kind of the one large one. I think the parties probably agree on most other facts. About what has occurred, and what has, well, maybe not what has been approved or not, but I think that's actually a pretty significant legal issue too, and that is what actually has been approved or whether an approval has been issued. And you may have seen that from the Superior Court order, that was a pretty significant question. And I know this is now the last part of your issues. I think the one you wanted to touch on the last, but that would be maybe be helpful to get that sorted out and to have some opportunity to brief that and get a decision from you.
And just to let you guys know, as far as the Superior Court proceedings went, I have not reviewed them at all, except for the takeaways from the final order. What and I tried to reiterate those in my pre-hearing order, what the Superior Court has directed downwards this direction. So don't expect that you don't have to rebrief or bring me up to speed on whatever happened at the Superior Court level. Because as far as I'm concerned, their record is not our record. We have to establish a clear record here at this level. Okay, so I mean, the other thing is, if you guys, it depends how fast the parties want to move. I can set a final hearing and I can set a motion hearing date. I can set just a motion hearing date and we can reconvene and figure out a final hearing date. But my inclination is just to set a final hearing date and a motion hearing date. Anyone have any concerns or questions with that?
The only thing that I'd express on behalf of the applicant is, we want to move as expeditiously as possible to that hearing. So if we have a dispositive calendar that ends up kicking the hearing out, that's not what we'd be interested in. And Mr. Lauren and I had some preliminary conversations about this. I don't think we reached a resolution, but I agree with what he said that there are some issues that could be handled dispositively. It's really just an issue of law that needs to be resolved, but there does seem to be factual issues that the whole case can't be handled that way. So, I would suggest if we can set the hearing as soon as possible, and if we have issues that we can agree are going to be disposed of legally, we could set hearing briefing ahead of that hearing and then, not have to wait for the hearing examiner to issue a dispositive ruling. And then after that, go on to the hearing, just kind of make our legal arguments in pre-hearing briefing, and then let the Mr. Examiner issue a final decision on all those legal issues and the factual issues after the hearing.
Well, how does this sound? We could do a motion hearing date August 28th. We could do a final hearing September 25th. That should give the parties both time to brief any issues or bring motions as necessary. I'd like those motions filed at least 14 days before that date. No one says you have to wait till after you get back from anywhere. That'll give you guys a month about then to readjust strategy based on any rulings they can make expeditiously as possible.
And Mr. Hearing Examiner, do you anticipate oral argument at that dispositive calendar date, or would it just be, that would be the timeline?
How do you feel about it?
I don't think that oral argument would be necessary on those dispositive motions, but I'm open to whatever the parties are
Mr.
interested in doing.
Lauren?
Well, lawyers always like to talk. But I'm also comfortable having you make a decision on the papers or decide whether you think you need oral argument after having received the briefing as well. Having a set date, but then decide whether or not we need to follow through with that. I'm comfortable with however you want to manage that.
Mr. Diavion? And then just to, I don't want you guys, I won't take offense. I love that y'all trust me to make the decision. It sounds wonderful. What everyone human wants to hear, but it's really about you guys creating the record you need to create also. So, Mr. Diavion.
I think on legal issues, I don't have any issue, any problem whatsoever with that being decided on the papers alone.
Mr. Wittendorf or Koopmans?
Yep, don't have an issue with that.
Good, thank you.
Great.
Mr.
Okay, so
Examiner, though, before we
yes,
move
Mr.
on,
Lane.
I do have a concern about that deadline for or the date for
Great.
the motions. And I'm not
Great.
trying to push things out a little bit, but I will be
Just
gone
tell me.
about 2.5, 3 weeks in August. And so that would fall basically right in that period when we'd typically be briefing or finalizing that brief. So if
Don't
we
want to do it
could
now?
push that, what do I just make the argument now?
Don't want to make your motions now, file them now, and you'll have
I'd
made the
love to.
deadline.
I've got a couple of other clients who are
I
expecting
know.
things in the short term,
All
as you
right.
might imagine.
What would you
So,
suggest, Mr. Loring?
2 weeks after that, I haven't looked at the exact date, but after the date that you identified.
September 11th actually does not work for me. That would be that date. I have a firm
Well,
retreat
that's
that
just a
day.
submission date, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I was just too, it doesn't have to be that exact date, but somewhere in that time frame so that I'd be able to hopefully, get back and finalize things.
Well, I see, and I want to make rulings with a timely enough manner for the final hearing to happen such that you all can adjust course as needed. So,
Well, it wouldn't be possible to push back the final hearing the same amount of
are
time.
you all free on October 9th, Friday, October 9th? Including Madam Clerk, are you free on October 9th?
I am, yes.
I believe so. Let me, I just want to check with one of the dates I received from
That would work for
my
me.
client.
That will work for Mr.
It does. Okay. I had the 7th down on my note, so I just wanted to make sure that was it. Okay. All right.
Okay, I'm gonna make the motion submissions. Well, no, hold on a second. Because you guys will file your motions, and then lawyers are gonna want to respond to the motions, and they're gonna want to reply to the motions. This doesn't work. Okay, hold on. So we're going to make the motions due September 4th. And we're going to make answers due September 11th. And we're going to make. Replies due the 16th. And the replies will be limited, I don't know, 4 pages with all the usual lawyer tricks of margins and not ignoring the caption covering space and so on and so forth. Okay, great. Great, 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 great. Final hearing, October 9th in person, Skagit County. I'll set a briefing schedule. Now I'm going to circle. I think those are the primary things I wanted to establish here. I assume when we all next meet, all four parties will be in complete agreement and this will disappear. But otherwise, Mr. Loring, in your brief, you're rewriting just from my read of what the appellant filed, what the appeal was filed as, which I tried to follow their pattern. Pretty much when we all agreed the first time around, it doesn't quite match. It doesn't quite match in my mind with what the appeal was filed for. So I'm not going to change anything today, but if the four parties want to put their heads together about it and somehow think that that iteration is better, that'll be great. Otherwise, for now, it's going to stand as the parties agreed to earlier in the proceeding. And as I read it in the original appeal document, in fact, I mean, my version simplified a little, but it's broad enough, I think, to encompass the arguments that were in the appeal document. So I'll ask the four parties to put their heads together about re-examining whether these are more accurate than what the parties earlier agreed to or acceptable in any manner. I'm not going to, on the fly, let make everyone argue about that right here. Is there anything else I need to take care of, Mr. Kamik or Sir Metzler?
Nothing on my end, thank you.
Mr. Wittendorf or Koopmans?
Nope.
Mr.
My only question is, I'm assuming that the briefing schedule for the final hearing will be, you'll include that in your order.
I will work that backwards too, and it'll be tight because I'm going to try to rule on those motions. Or maybe you'll start your briefs and you'll cut out whatever I rule on. I don't know, but it's going to be a tight time frame on in that regard.
And I
Yeah.
actually do have a question, Mr. Hearing Examiner. The hearing briefing schedule then, are you anticipating just one brief same day due for everybody, or are you going to ha have a staggered briefing?
I have a brief everyone's due for, and then I let people respond and reply
Okay.
as necessary, which is always delightful when you have so many parties. But what's important to me and probably to all of you is that we shouldn't be educating the hearing examiner at first blush with the law right there in the hearing. I mean, that results in bad decisions. I want to understand your arguments going in so I can really focus on your presentations and your factual presentations and your arguments at that point. Yes, Mr. Loring. One other thing I forgot. You wanted to talk about witness disclosures.
Was going to ask about that. Yeah, it sounds like the exhibits are pretty well cleared up at this point. But yeah, witness disclosure so that we know. And also I note that Mr. Schmetzler mentioned that they are looking for a consultant to respond to the reports by Dr. Horner. And so if there's going to be a report that will be issued as part of that or the substance of that testimony, obviously we'd want to have some time to prepare for that as well.
Mr.
Yes,
Schmetzler.
we've identified someone I want to confirm with that person. And I'm fine with having a disclosure, and then of course any report that they're going to present or rely on, if any, would be we would submit that with the witness lists. I would assume we're going to have a witness disclosure date ahead of the hearing.
So this is an open record public hearing. So I don't think the hearing examiner can actually prohibit or require lay witnesses to be listed, but I think I can regulate expert witnesses, their disclosures, and their reports. And that date would be September 8th. Does that work for everyone?
Fine.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Wittendorf and Koopmans.
Yep.
Yes.
Great. Great, great, great. And Mr. Lawrence, is there anything else I'd forgotten?
You did have one other point, and that was that I understand that you're not revising the issue statements as we wrote them. Completely understand that. But on the first one, that was one that we feel is an issue that wasn't necessarily identified earlier, but is a jurisdictional issue. And so I just wanted to put that out there and ask whether that's going to be something that that you are going to entertain as part of this appeal. And that is essentially whether the county actually made a decision. And if the county didn't make a decision, of course, there's no jurisdiction to hear this appeal in the first instance. And I understand the irony of arguing that our appeal is not a valid appeal because there's no decision being appealed.
Yeah. Let's have the parties. I'm not going to on the fly research or figure that out without argument. Either parties come to an agreement or make that one of the motions that I need to decide. I
I
think.
would just note that the county's position is that it's very clear from the Superior Court's decision that is premised on the view that a decision was made. And so we would not be agreeing to change any issues to
We're
make that
not going to
issue.
argue this in front of me right now. So
I'm just
I'm not.
letting Mr. Loring know that it's likely to be a motion issue and not
I
a.
hear.
You can let
Understood.
Mr. Loring know by telephone. That would be great.
Understood. Thank you.
Keep me away from the sausage making. I just want to delete the delicious sausage on the grill, you guys. Okay.
You're speaking my language, Mr. Hearing Examiner. From Wisconsin originally, I can,
Yeah,
a sausage
Wisconsin.
aficionado, I think,
Well, the prevailing attorney will buy beer cheese. Prevailing party will buy beer cheese. Mr. Wittendorf, Mr. Koopmans, I know you've been to my proceedings before. I just want to go over just a couple things with you as you're proceeding pro se. I just want to make sure the most current copy of the rules will be available online. You review those, understand that your appeal group will have one speaking agent. You are totally allowed to represent yourself pro se. But you will be either in some aspects treated as just to the same standards the lawyers are, with the same expectations, including all these deadlines I'm issuing in the order. Is there any questions about that?
No, yeah, that's understood. Thanks.
Okay, and I think, unless everyone furiously raises their hand or pipes up, I think I've addressed the issues we need to address here today. I'll get this order out today, and I'll let you four parties get to resolving what you can resolve and figuring out what you can't resolve anything. Have a wonderful day. Have a great
You
weekend.
too. Take
Thank
care.
you.
Have a good weekend, everyone.